Is chapter 11, 1 Corinthians chapter 11.
First Corinthians chapter 11. Is your mic on? It's on, right? Why didn't she hear that?
Put a green light here, yeah. Okay. You hear me?
No. I did.
So he can't hear.
Okay. Yeah, she'll hear you.
Now. Okay, all right. Yeah, he's taking care of it. So anyway, 1 Corinthians chapter 11.
We're going to deal with this passage here, 17 through 33. So we're going to have the Lord's Supper today. And quite often we have this after another message, but occasionally I want to go through different passages that relate to it so that we don't just take the Lord's Supper for granted, something else we just have to do, but we see the passage and the various passages at hand here. And so I'm going to deal with the Lord's Supper passage here in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 17 through 34. And so I believe the chapter can be organized around these four points. First of all, we have Paul is talking about a problem. Verse 17 through 22. Then he's talking about the procedure, 23 to 26. Then he deals with the prediction, 27 to 32. And finally, in verse 33 to 34, purpose. So we have problem, procedure, prediction, and purpose. So we don't want to take the Lord's Supper for granted, just something that we get through in the service, and we do this and that, and that's all there is to it. So occasionally, I want to expound on the passages. We have no handout today. All right, so we're going to look at the passage. So trust that you have your Bible open, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And Paul had started the Corinthian church, so he needed to teach the church basic truths here. He had to teach them about the ordinances of the church, to be baptism and the Lord's Supper. And the Corinthian church were individuals that were there in Corinth, were people that came out of just pure, raw paganism. They got converted. And once they got converted, he began to teach them biblical truth and so on. However, as they, with their pagan background, carried some of the paganism into the Christian life, as we all do. And so he had to deal with some of these things. So first of all, he says there's a problem. There's a problem in the church. And so we see here in verse 17 through 22, he says, "Now, in this I declare unto you, I praise you not that you come together, not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it." So divisions here, the word is schism. Schism means a split, division. "For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. When you come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper, for in eating every one taketh before other his own supper, and one is hungry and another is drunken. What? Have you not houses to eat and to drink in? And despise you the church of God, and shame them that have not? What shall I say unto you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not." Our Father, we pray that you bless us now. We thank thee that we can open the Word of God and hear from thee through the Apostle Paul. We pray that you'll help us to examine our hearts as we anticipate partaking in the Lord's Supper. We pray especially for Eiko at this time, and also for my mother-in-law that intervened for these individuals with physical challenges. We pray that you might bless the service now, we ask for. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so as Paul is dealing with the Corinthian church, he wants to help everybody understand what is going on in this ordinance. So, as he indicates there in, say, verses 21 and 22, there is some division here relative to one another. And so, part of this has to do with, in the Christian life, we have a vertical relationship with the Lord. But not only do we have a vertical relationship with the Lord, we have a horizontal relationship with others. And so when our vertical relationship with the Lord is right, we can be right with one another. When our horizontal relationship is not right, that affects the vertical. So they go together, vertical, horizontal. Right with God, right with man. Not right with man, not right with God. It's simple. And so I heard a good Sunday school lesson about hardening the hearts. We've heard from Jeremiah on Wednesday night, harden the hearts. So as we've been talking about, Christianity really is a heart issue. It's about our heart. It's about my heart. I have to deal with my heart. And my heart's the only heart that can be changed, can only be fixed. I can fix. And so we learn these things. So he talks about divisions in the assembly here. For instance, there were divisions way back there in chapter 1 about who baptized whom. Who baptized whom? He says some say that they're baptized by Peter or Paul or Apollos, or even by Christ or one of Christ's disciples, actually. And this is all a pride issue. It's all a pride issue. Baptism is a church ordinance, not a man's ordinance. Mm-hmm. Now, obviously, a man, the pastor normally, would be the one that would be doing the baptism. But it's a church ordinance. It's not man's ordinance. Now, I know that some denominations, the pastor has a little black box here and he carries it around the hospital rooms. He has the Lord's Supper with that one individual. No, this is not right. It's a ministry. It's an ordinance for the whole church, not a pastor's ordinance. So, really, it doesn't matter who does the baptism to a certain degree. Now, we'd want a godly person, probably a pastor, baptize. And we've done that in the church here. We've had those other than myself baptized from time to time. All right, so that was one of the issues here. Secondly, in chapter 5, there's the issue of immorality, for instance. Here, the Corinthian church members looked the other way when a man was having his father's wife or his stepmother. He and his father were involved in immorality with the same woman. So obviously, immorality is a issue here in the Lord's church. And so Paul heard about these things. He hears about these things. And then there were marital issues. Even in our very chapter 11, Paul has to tell the Corinthians, who came out of a matriarchal society, that the Lord, the patriarchal God, wants his world to be patriarchal, including his church. And so women don't run the church, men do. And so he has to remind them in verse 3, 11, 3. But I would have you to know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. So this is biblical issues here as well. So headship in the home. Who's the head of the home? This doesn't mean the wife is a slave. She's a nobody. Obviously, we are co-equal in creation between the Lord, but we're not co-equal in roles in the local church or in the home, for that matter. And so he has to deal with that. He mentions the same thing there in Ephesians chapter 5 as well, concerning men and women in the assembly. And then as well as marital issues. Paul has to spend a lengthy section here in chapter 7 on what the Bible teaches about marriage, because remember, the Corinthians were an immoral society, grossly immoral. It's just like California, Los Angeles, Las Vegas, New York City, Chicago, or other places, even Hartford for that matter, or Connecticut, where anything goes. Anything goes, and even marriage goes. Marriage goes out the window. So the unsaved could care less about marriage. And so Paul has to deal with marriage and relationships, so on and so forth. And so he does that here in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Then other divisions in the church had to do with idolatry. If you look over there in let's look in chapter 10 rather. And we see in chapter 10 where he picks this up in verse 14. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. So idolatry, having idols in our lives. So some people have, and their whole life is about sports heroes.
Right.
Now, we can all enjoy sports, but my whole life is geared around a sport hero. All right, so mine was Babe Ruth, but he's gone, so I've had Victor now. Anyway, and also celebrities. So my favorite Hollywood celebrity is thus and so. Okay, why are you following celebrities? And celebrities think now they know everything about politics, so they can give their opinion. And remember, most celebrities are actors or actresses, and so the Bible calls them hypocrites because they're acting out something that they really don't own or believe. So why do you want to make a celebrity, a hero, an idol? So we want to be careful about idolatry in the church and so on. And then there's disunity, because he says there's a schism, so a disunity. So in 1 Corinthians, for instance, so we're trying to go through the whole book, but try to bring out certain points here. In 1 Corinthians, Paul says in verse 25, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 25, that there should be no schism in the body. So the body is the local church. This church here, Bible Baptist Church, is the body of Christ in this area. Should be no schism in the body, but the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all members suffer for it, with it. Or one member be honored, all members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and members in particular. And so the one body here in Scripture needs to be a united body. Unity around doctrine and practice are very important here. And so we're united. We're all united in the Lord and united one with another. And so we want to make sure our relationship is vertical, right with the Lord. But this is going to be manifest somewhat with our relationship horizontally with others. If one's broken, the other's broken. So we want to have this unity in the local church. For instance, if you look over here in Romans chapter 15, Paul says this. Romans chapter 15, he's talking about unity in these churches as well. And he says to these churches and church members of these churches, 15 verse 6, that ye may with one mind, one mouth, glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So notice that one mind, we're united in our thinking here, doctrine and practice, and one mouth, we're united in our one mouth. Take for instance, in one mouth glorifying God, I would think For instance, our choir, we heard the choir up here, 10 people up here in the choir. That's great. And we would think, as the choir sang, everybody was united in the words, the music, everything. Sounds good. Now, was everybody united in spirit? See, so it's not just a matter of going through music. There has to be a spiritual element here. Can't be united one another spiritually. Can you be united one another in singing or anything else, any other service? Can you be united? So this is why unity in the church is very important. And so Paul sees this. If there's a schism in the church, you better not take the Lord's Supper, is what he's saying. So how do we fix this unity? Here's how we fix this unity, because we're dealing with people. We're dealing with people. If you look over there in Ephesians chapter 4, tremendous passage that Paul has to tell the Ephesian church. Ephesians chapter 4, he says there in verse 30. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Grieving the Holy Spirit of God. Whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. So, redeemed people can grieve the Holy Spirit. Yeah. So we're redeemed, and at the resurrection, this will be the day of our ultimate redemption. But even as redeemed people, we can grieve the Holy Spirit. And so how do we avoid that? We want to avoid grieving the Holy Spirit, don't we?
Yes.
I do. He says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Is that in your heart? Is that in my heart? I have to examine my heart. Be kind one to another. Am I kind one to another? Is that my heart? It's a message for me.
Yeah.
You can listen in. Am I tender-hearted towards others? Am I tender-hearted? Am I forgiving of one another? Can I forgive others who offend me from time to time? Am I forgiving? Even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. I've been forgiven, so I ought to be an expert on forgiving others. Shouldn't I? Shouldn't you?
Yeah.
Right? So, this unity comes into a local church, and so Paul's concerned about this. And so we see the problem, hard-heartedness. We always have to check our heart. Do I have a hard heart in my life? So secondly, there's a procedure. He lays out the procedure. So we talk quite about the procedure here in verse 23 through 26. He says, for I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you. So this is when he was in the desert for 3 years, the Lord gave him many revelatory truths, because he wasn't at the first Lord's Supper. He wasn't even saved. And he goes on, the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance. So here we have the breaking of the bread. It represents the Lord's broken body. No broken bones, but his bones were pulled out of joint. And after the same matter, also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, this is the cup of the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. So we think about the broken body, the wafer there, and the cup with the juice in it, the grape juice in it. And this do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. So what has the Lord done for me? He's redeemed me. As a lost sinner on my way to hell, he's redeemed me.
Amen.
And so I want to make sure I have that relationship, the vertical relationship with him. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you shall show the Lord's death till he comes. So we think in terms of Jesus and his death. So it's a reminder, why did he die? To give universal salvation to the whole world? Is that why he died? No, he died for sinners. who repent of sins and trust Him as Savior. He died for the whole world, but in order to receive the blessings of His salvation, one has to repent and believe. All right, so we show forth His Lord's death. So as we're thinking about this, why did the Lord die? He died for me. All right, so there's the procedure. All right, and then there's the prediction, verse 27 to 32. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth drink and drinketh damnation to himself, and not discerning the Lord's body. And so here he's indicating, as we examine ourselves, am I right with the Lord? Am I right with everybody else? You know, in our church or any church, there are people with varying personalities, people with varying gifts and so on. So we can love the brethren, but there may be an element where we can love one another, but we have people we really enjoy being friends with, and others maybe not so much, but it has nothing to do with spirituality. It's just some people we like, some people I'm not putting a negative spin on this. I'm just saying we have different gifts, different personalities, so we're attracted to some are not, but we love everybody. We're right with everybody. Follow that? Don't misunderstand what I'm saying.
Amen.
Okay, you got that? So that's not what we're talking about. So let a man examine himself. So let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. And so this is when we're not right with one another. This brings damnation, he says. And verse 30 says, for this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. And so this spirituality affects physicality.
Yes.
Now, what this passage is talking about is premature weakness, premature sickness, premature death. Because we all are weak. We all get sick. Just because somebody's sick, we don't say, aha! And we all die. This is premature weakness, premature sickness, premature sleep. So taking the Lord's Supper is not just some casual thing. Oh yeah, we're doing it. We go through the motions. Oh, this is great. Examination of the heart. So when I participate, me as pastor participate, I need to check my heart. Am I right with everybody? But this expectation for everybody here in the assembly here. And so, for if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. So I'm judging myself. Have I offended the Lord? Am I right with Him? Have I offended others? Am I right with others? I'm judging myself. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, and that we should not be condemned with the world. So we judge ourselves. If we don't judge ourselves, then we're going to be judged by the Lord, and He's going to have to deal with us. How does He deal with us? Premature weakness. Premature sickness. Premature death. That's how He deals with us. So, we're not interested in going down that road, but the Lord's Supper is very serious because we're remembering what He's done for us. He's done for me. And so I need to check my heart. I want to check my heart. Where am I on this? Because if I'm not right with Him, I'm not right with others. And therefore, there's division. The division in the church would be spiritual division that leads to physical division. So it starts in the heart. We heard that in Sunday school. Heard that. So then finally, there's the purpose. The purpose on this. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. They were thinking about others. If any man hunger, let him eat at home. That you come not together in condemnation, and the rest will I set in order when I come. And so here we see the purpose we're thinking about others, my relationship with others, because I've already thought about my relationship with the Lord. Right with the Lord, right with others. If that's the case, then I can participate without the fear of premature weakness, sickness, and death. We all are going to die, but I'd rather live out the time the Lord wants to give me rather than have it shortened because my heart is not right with others. All right, so here's what Paul says, and this is applicable for all churches. Every church, every biblical church needs to go through this from time to time. And so that's what we're going to participate in. So let's pray. Our Father, we praise you. Bless us now as we anticipate taking the Lord's Supper. We thank you for the broken body of the Lord and his shed blood for our sins, and help us to think in terms of am I right with the Lord and am I right with one another? I pray that you'll help us to be in unity as we participate in this. We pray and ask in Jesus' name. Amen.